The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, Rory Delaghi and Stephen Powell in the studio. Some good racing to look forward to as well, with three jumps meetings in the afternoon, Ascot, Haydock and Foss Lass. We also have all weather action in the evening, the usual Friday fair at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Gordon Brown. Hi, Bruni.
I'm very well, Mark Walton.
Good. We've got quite a weekend coming up.
I call you Mark or Marky. I don't like Wally.
Yeah.
Because you ain't one. And I know it's short for Walton, but you're Marky to me.
Ah, I'll take that. I'll take that, Bruni. It's better than Wally anyway.
So. Ah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm well. Isn't it great? The jumping's starting to fly.
Yeah.
And as you say, cracking weekend cards at Ascot and Haydock. I think I was reading somewhere that Saturday's the richest day jumping up out with one of the main festivals, if you know what I mean. So yeah. Fantastic stuff at Haydock and at Ascot. And Fulheen, for example, running at Ascot on Saturday. And
yeah,
all the big guns at Haydock as well. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's a fantastic weekend. And just a bit of news. Noel Feely's saying, don't lose the faith in Silviniaco Conti. He was disappointing last time we saw him, but he's one of the joint favourites. Well, he was. In fact, he's now gone clear favourite for the Betfair Chase. 3-1 at the top of the market. Q Card 100-30 with Dynast. 6-1 for Takanasoy. 7s for Menorah and 14s or bigger. Would you give him another chance, Bruni?
Yeah, I'm the racecourse presenter at Haydock Park. I was there last year. I'm there throughout the year, and I'll be there on Saturday. And the 1-2-3 of last year's race, rocking up again. Mm. Last year, of course, Q Card so impressive, then going on to win Grade 1 Company. Dynast in second place, went on to win at Cheltenham. Silviniaco Conti third last year. And as you say, Noel Feely saying, don't lose faith in Conti. I can't wait for Saturday. It's promising to be a mouth-watering occasion. And at this moment, I'd probably side with Q Card, because I know that they weren't too disheartened by the comeback in the Howden Gold Cup.
Yeah.
And I really put him down as a potential Gold Cup contender. He's my long range value tip for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So right. Fingers crossed he runs well on Saturday. But remember that you don't win the Gold Cup at this time of year. The Cheltenham Festival prizes ain't given out in late autumn, early winter. There's a lot of water to go under the bridge, but my goodness me, the jumping is really beginning to step up a gear, and it should be a fabulous weekend of action and the best coverage as always here in William Hill Radio.
Exactly, yes, and we'll learn a bit more about the Gold Cup picture after that at Haydock on Saturday. We'll also learn probably a little bit about the Champion Hurdle picture this weekend. The new ones in action, we've got
Haydock in that new 100 grand hurdle.
Yeah, and apparently Aurore Estraval, the Quinn mare, is in the lineup as well, and she looked exciting. Do you think she could cut it with a new one there?
I would imagine that they would take an honourable second, a close second, I would imagine, but the new one, I mean, to be honest, I think it's his to lose. But good luck to the Quinn horse, because they never be scared of one horse, as they say. And, you know, anything could happen to the new one. But if they both stand up and run to the form, I mean, it would be a huge upset for me anyway if the new one didn't win. But I'll be rooting for the Quinn horse to run well. And as I say, I'll be there. I won't have a financial interest in that race. And I'm just looking forward to seeing some top quality jumping.
Yeah. And just one final piece of news before we move on to Friday's action. Saïda Grugie, he's had the scan.
Yeah.
And we're not going to see him again in 2014, probably.
Yeah, I was reading that this morning. In fact, I was reading it overnight, because the story broke last night. They've scanned it. It's not as bad as the first fear. What they're going to have to do at the moment is he's going to go in the walker, and then they're going to scan him again. So it's a hip injury. I don't think, I mean, they were looking along the lines of possibly a fracture in the pelvic area. Well, it's not too bad. There's no stress fracture, and apparently it's shown a hot area in the hip. So I don't know how he's done it. He rolls in sand. A lot of horses like to roll in the sand pit. It could have been done during that. He's not going to defend his crown in Thingle Creek. He's not going to run this side of Christmas. Fingers crossed he does come back, but hopefully it's not as bad as they feared. At this stage, it doesn't look like that. But it's always, our jumping horses, the top ones are few and far between. We need them all rocking up. We need them all fit and running to give us pleasure through the winter. And fingers crossed that we see him run this season. But the main thing is that he is in one piece to race again, whenever that might be.
Yeah. By the sounds of it, they're pretty optimistic that he might make the festival. They're saying that they don't think it'll be season-ending, and obviously aiming for the champion chase. And if Sprinter Sacra comes back fitting well before then, it'd be nice to look forward to that, won't it?
Yeah, there's a question mark, isn't there, about him? I mean, he's still got to prove. You know, he had that defibrillating heart. Now, they seem to have got to the bottom of that issue. So, you know, if he was at his very best and back to his best, I mean, I couldn't see anything beating him. He was an absolute machine. But Sade Gruzzi is the reigning champion chaser. So if the pair of them were under a cloud, you know, it would open up the race big time.
Yeah, it would, yeah. Anyway, we'll learn more about that as the season goes on. We've got some very good racing coming up at the weekend, and it starts at Haydock and Ascot on Friday. We'll get Gordon's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, Gordon's picked out the best racers at both Haydock and Ascot, and we start in the 155 at Haydock Park. This is the it's what used to be the Newton Novices Hurdle. It's a listed race over 2 miles. We have six of them in the lineup at the moment. Gordy, which ones are on the shortlist?
Cherry picking and already pretty decent day's racing, to be honest. The shortlist, possibly Oscar Tia, Stephanie Francis, the mayor, and the Brock again. The race was won 12 months ago, incidentally, by Zamdi Man. If I had to go for one that would be the pick in my choice of those three, Oscar Tia for Anthony Honeyball and Dennis O'Regan. A lot to like about the hurdling debut success at Fosse Lass. Stephanie Francis, the mare, won her first hurdle at Worcester back in October on soft ground. I'm wondering where she's been since then. And Paul Nichols and Sam Twiston Davis with the Brock again. A bit of a dark horse, this. Only ran once this side of the channel, and that was when finishing third in a pretty decent run at Sandown. Prior to that, three runs across in France. So of those with form in the race course, I just liked the attitude of Oscar Tia when he won that first time over hurdles at Fosse Lass earlier this autumn. The Brock again would probably be the main danger. We don't know much about him. As I say, that third on a decent race at Sandown was his debut for Connections, always previous hurdling form in France. But it's a listed race, this, and it normally produces an above average winner.
Okay. The Brock again is declared to run on Thursday, by the way, so if he does run, he might not run on Friday.
Oscar Tia then.
Yeah. Okay. Oscar Tia in the 155 at Haydock. The 240 at Ascot is where we go next, and this is the Winkworth Handicap Chase, a Class 3 event over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Eight of them in the lineup for this. We've got last year's winner, Nice Run Frankie, back in the lineup, but pretty much out of form last time we saw him. Lysino, though, very much in form, Bruni.
Yeah, that's very much in form for the Grand National winning trainer, Dr. Richard Newland, and a very consistent type as well. I'll touch on last year's winner in just a second, but Lysino won by 18 lengths at Worcester last time over 2 miles. Good to soft, similar conditions, up slightly in trip, so no worries, I wouldn't think, about him staying. Alpha, what a run both Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson were on. Richard Johnson, yeah. 7 winners at the open meeting at Cheltenham. Hobbs, he just one behind. The pair of them are absolutely flying, either when they team up or individually. Al Alpha's a horse that likes to race prominently and finished 5th at Wincanton over this sort of trip last time. Fairy Wrath, or Fairy Wraith, for Nick Gifford and Leighton Aspel, hasn't raced for 330 days, but just a little bit of an insight here. This horse has gone well fresh before. It won after an absence first time back at Ascot last season, so I wouldn't be too concerned. Well, obviously I'd be concerned that why has it been off, but I know that when it does come back, it runs Sounds well fresh, Fairy Wraith. So I wouldn't put you off that. And just one other thing about this time of year, Venetia Williams horses do come to hand. And nice one, Frankie. Again, she can get them ready after a break. And as you say, it won the corresponding race last year. If I had to go for one here, I'm just going to go a little bit left of centre. Fairy Wrath for Nick Gifford and Leighton Aspel. We know it's gone well before after a layoff. It won first time back last season at Ascot. And I'm hoping that it will be ready to rock again after the 330 days off. Fairy Wrath, but an interesting race.
Okay, Fairy Wrath then in that one. And the final race we're going to look at is the 315 at Ascot. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. We have 11 of them in the lineup for this one. And some of them arriving in pretty decent nick. The likes of Howard's Legacy, another Venetia Williams horse that could have a decent chance on Friday.
Yeah, won easily at Bangor last time. Howard's Legacy, Aidan Coleman and Venetia Williams, as you mentioned, they're in great form. I think they're top time for following them, sort of early turn of the year, January into February, her horses hit form, but they tend to hold the form pretty well all through the season. So a comfortable winner at Bangor last time, goes again here, Howard's Legacy. Ballin Varig for Tom George and Paddy Brennan. This is probably needed a couple of runs, certainly the debut one it needed from finishing 8th, and then it led for a fair way before finishing 2nd at Exeter over this sort of trip on similar ground as well. And then we've got I Have Dreamed, who's come back after an absence to run twice this season, the most recent occasion at Market Raisin over 2¾ miles. Softer ground and a longer trip, I Have Dreamed. Could be interesting off a lightish weight here for Lonnie Hill and David Bass. It's probably one of the hardest races we've looked at so far. I think Howard's Legacy might just be a bit of progression here. It's got a £7 penalty to defy. Seven lengths at Bangor. If you take a pound per length, I don't think seven. I mean, the handicapper will put it up 10, I would imagine, more than the penalty. So I'm going to go for Howard's Legacy to follow up the Bangor win.
Okay, Howard's Legacy then. In the 315, let's just have a quick summary, Gordy, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, Haydock Park, just remind me if I've got these right. Oscar Tia, the winner of the hurdle race at Haydock, bearing in mind that the Brock against the clear to run and might not go again so quickly. At Ascot, I'm going for Fairy Wrath. It could be Fairy Wraith, that, but if there was an eye in it, it'd definitely be Fairy Wraith. I think it'll be Wrath unless I know otherwise. Fairy Wrath to defy the absence and win on the comeback. And as I've just mentioned, in the 315 at Ascot, the 3 mile chase, Howard Legacy looks progressive and could well be the type to defy that £7 penalty for the romp at Bangor.
Good stuff. Good to see you again, Gordy. Thank you very much, and enjoy on Friday.
And thank you for not mentioning the football.
Yes. Let you get away with that one.
Bye.
Cheers, Brody. There you go, the thoughts of Gordon Brown on Friday's racing. You'll hear it here on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Stuart Beasley, Rory DeLaghi and Stephen Powell will be in the studio. We have good meetings at Ascot and Haydock and jumping from Fosslass as well in the afternoon, and then the usual all-weather Friday evening fare from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.